دقيستيال وين سلام وانا اميره عداوي برنامج كيني بيور اند ويلنس اسبوع كاست سبت كاست ان اذن سودينو ان برنامج كاس او كوسابسن ان سيدي لوغا هادلي لهاي دباتوينك داتك هيسو او داوينك كيميكلز كلا داتك جيركودا امرينايان اي كوودان ان اي اسكو عاديان ايو ان عافيماتكا حق بلشده ويلنس ان ان كهادلنو سيدي بلش عافي مادله ان ما اركتي اوراد سن لهين سو مارك اسبوع كاستا توبك موضوعيه كل دوان ايان سو دايا ان ما انت وحا برنامج كان مرتي نوغو ان ما انت وحان كهدلينا دباتد ما اركتي داوينك اس عدايسك اي ددك او ليهين خاصه مقاركودا kore sida ay u dhaawacdo marka maanta waxaan nagla soo qayb gali doona barnaamijka dhaqtar la dhaho Dr. Crutchfield oo ku takhasusay in caafimaadka in xagga maqaarka marka mar dhaw ayaan barnaamijka soo gelinayaa maanta barnaamijkeena waa wuxuu ku saabsanaanaya English madam uusan Soomaali uusan ku hadlin laakiin marka interviewga dhameeyo ayaan su'aalaha idin furaya in kadibna idin ku summarize gareynaya in Soomaali ku sharxay marka in mar dhaw ayaan idin ku soo noqon doonaa and then idin bari doonaa Dr. Crutchfield. Hello.
Yeah, hi, it's Dr. Crutchfield.
Hi, Dr. Crutchfield. This is welcome to the radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let me do can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so let me do introduction. So hi everybody, good afternoon. Like I indicated earlier, we have today Dr. Crutchfield, who is award-winning dermatologist that's based in Minnesota, and he will be sharing with us very important information that's about skin health and addressing the issue of skin lighting. So Dr. Crutchfield, welcome, and we're so glad to have you today on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So I would like to start with introduction, and so the audience, the listeners know who you are. Could you start with talking about your background, your education, and work experience?
Sure. You know, I was born in the Twin Cities, and I grew up in the Twin Cities. I went to Highland Park Junior High School. In fact, we're having our 40-year high school reunion tonight. And I went to Minnehaha Academy High School also.
Great.
I attended Carleton College in Northfield, Minnesota. I did my graduate work. I have a master's in molecular biology and molecular genomics from the Mayo Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my MD doctorate degree from the Mayo Clinic also. And I did my residency training at the Gunderson Clinic 1 year as an intern in Wisconsin. And I did my dermatology residency training at the University of Minnesota. And I was the first African American
mm-hmm.
To graduate from the University of Minnesota dermatology program. I'm currently a clinical professor of dermatology at the University of Minnesota Medical School.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have my own private practice for the last 18 years in Eagan, Crutchfield Dermatology.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see patients 5 days a week, and I teach at the university. I'm also a Benedict Professor of Biology at Carleton College, and I teach there in the spring.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. We're so glad to have you.
I specialize in skin of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're so glad to have you. You know, it's so hard to find dermatologists that specialized in our type of skin, dark skin, and so it's really great to have you here in Minnesota, and especially for you to discuss about the issue of skin lighting. As you know, we have high prevalence of skin lighting practices,
and
which is worldwide issue, and here in Minnesota we do have a lot of communities, immigrant and refugee communities, who have high prevalence of practicing, like the Somali community, and we discussed this before. And so that's one of the reasons that it's so so great to have you on the show today. So I would like to ask you, what do you know about the skin lighting practices? I know you know a lot, but what are the damages? How is it impacting individuals and communities?
You know, skin lightening has been a social concern for decades. In fact, my mother and father both attended University of Minnesota Medical School. My mother was the first African-American female to graduate from the University of Minnesota Medical
School. Yes, I read about that, yeah.
Yeah, back in 1963. But they even told me as a child about how there was social stigma and stratification based on skin color. And, you know, the lighter the skin, some people seem to prefer that. So as a result, a lot of people would do skin bleaching and skin lightening.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a practice for many, many years. Thank goodness more and more people like you are educating people and talking about the dangers and also the social inappropriateness of doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be very, very dangerous, and it can also be counterproductive. A lot of the different agents that are used are dangerous to the skin. It can cause infections and skin breakdown and bleeding and permanent staining and darkening. So people try to lighten their skin, but it actually, some mm-hmm. of the chemicals that are used will block enzymes in the skin and make your skin permanently darker, so you actually make it worse, not better.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's the thing, you know, we have been trying to regulate that for the last 7 years here in this state, and the only chemical that we can regulate is the mercury in the skin lighting, but we can't regulate hydroquinone and other topical steroids, but a lot of people do use more than one product.
Yes, and you know, it's really confusing too, because not only do people use more than one product, they're not always aware of what the ingredients are in the products. The list have a brand name. Some products don't even have the ingredients listed, so you don't even know if you're using some of the lightening. They're using heavy metals
mm-hmm.
and arsenic and all kinds of mercury, all kinds of strange things, in addition to hydroquinone.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most important thing are shows like yours, where you can educate people. Not to, you can certainly legislate against it, but you know how humans are.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find a way around it. They're going to get
exactly.
it if they really want it. So the main thing
yeah.
is to decrease the demand. Say people for people to say, hey, this is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not appropriate. It's not socially acceptable, and I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best thing that we can do.
Exactly.
In addition to legislation.
Yeah, changing the behaviors. Yeah, and also the cultural practices that encourages people to change their skin color.
I see there's so much more pride in one's natural skin tone and skin color, and that's something that's really been coming on strong over the last probably 5 to 10 years,
mm-hmm.
where people are very accepting and they realize that is their. Now, not everyone. There's still large pockets of people where it's socially acceptable to try to lighten skin.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones we need to educate, that their skin color is normal, natural, and beautiful, and you don't have to change the way you look.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, and people need to hear more of that. So what are the could you give example of some of the side effects that people develop as a result of practicing skin lighting products? Because some of the people that I've met, we're using skin lighting products for the last 15 years, if not more.
Yeah, so one of the things they use is a really strong, ultra-potent topical steroid mm-hmm. called Dermavate or Temavate. And I see this
yes.
in a lot of the cultural stores. And even though traditionally in the United States it's a highly regulated prescription product, at many cultural stores you can get it without a prescription.
That's true.
But the problem is it causes extreme thinning of the skin. It causes follicular rupture and breakdown, severe infections in the skin, bleeding, stretch marks. It's terrible, using it even for more than a few months. But it never says that on the warnings when you buy the product. It doesn't say, oh, if you use this for more than a few weeks, it's going to cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things. You can actually have neurologic damage and disease for some of the other products that contain heavy metals. like trace amounts of arsenic and mercury. Mm-hmm. Those might lighten up things initially, but they cause a real dark blackening of the skin that can be permanent. And it can be neurotoxic and even cause seizures if it's used too long and at too high levels. Mm-hmm. And then hydroquinone itself is good, but only for short periods of time. It blocks an enzyme in the skin that actually makes the skin blacker. And so if you're using a hydroquinone agent for more than about 4 or 5 months, it actually makes it darker. And what happens is it's very, very insidious. It starts to get a little bit darker. So if you're mm-hmm. using it, you think, well, I got to use more.
Yeah.
It's getting darker. And then it makes it worse and worse. You get into this vicious cycle. So
yeah.
Those are some of the side effects. So infections, neurologic disease, seizures, even death in a couple instances in Africa where people are using inappropriate products,
yeah.
and permanent darkening of the skin when you're trying to lighten it. So it's a bad deal all the way around.
It is, yeah. And in terms of addiction, because does the hydroquinone have addiction? Because some of them, they stop and then they go back to it. Does it have a... addiction?
Hydroquinone is not physically addicting,
okay.
but it can be psychologically addicting.
Yeah.
And so people use it and they like it if they stop using it. But you know, one of the other things that's important, there's a condition called melasma,
mm-hmm.
and that's very common in people of color. And that's where you get kind of a dark patches that looks like a suntan, but they're more prominent on the upper cheeks, sometimes on the upper lip, the forehead, and sometimes the back of the forearms.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually comes after having children, after childbirth, or being on some type of hormonal treatment, either birth control pills or other hormonal treatments, in mm-hmm. association with the genetic propensity and sun exposure. And you get these dark patches on the cheeks and forehead and upper lip, and people hate it. It used to be called the mask of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And in
yes.
those cases, short bursts of hydroquinone are appropriate, but the problem is people try to use it not just to bring it back to normal, but to lighten it more than they need. And the other thing is when you have melasma, the most important thing that you can do, it's not just using a hydroquinone product for 3 months totally. It's also sun protection, because the sun is driving it. In fact, I tell patients,
mm-hmm.
if you don't use a broad spectrum, not just the SPF number, but it's got to say broad spectrum sunscreen every day, put it on before you leave the house. The amount of sun that touches your skin walking from a car to a building just across a parking lot on a cloudy day
mm-hmm.
is enough to maintain all the darkness of the skin. And so I tell patients, if you're not using sun protection and you're trying to fade away dark spots from melasma, it's like trying to run up an escalator
yeah.
that's going down. It's just tough to make progress.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that we found out that's in addition to sunlight, another enemy for darkness on the face
mm-hmm.
is heat. And my in-laws live in Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
and it gets to be 115 degrees in the summer. So climate heat, you go to places that are very hot, that can make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You take a lot of saunas or hot showers. And the other one is cooking over a hot stove or being around an oven that's opening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The heat from cooking can make it worse. You want to minimize heat exposure. I had one patient, and she had dark patches on her face, and we couldn't get a light for anything. We realized she's a professional chef. She's
yeah.
standing over a stove and around ovens all the time.
Yeah.
So we could reduce her heat exposure, it was difficult to even out skin tone.
So like with the heat exposure, how do you prevent that? With the sun, at least you'll use sunblock, sun cream. But with the heat exposure, what do you do? Do you put oil to prevent that?
No, what you do, first of all, you educate, because a lot of people don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll stand over the stove and they'll talk and they'll do some other things. No,
yeah.
you have to minimize it. So if you're going to cook, just go over to the stove and do it right when you need to, but don't stand over the stove.
True.
Or if you have a lot of things to move in and out of the oven, have one of your assistants open the oven and take it out for you. So you just want to minimize your exposure to the heat
mm-hmm.
and your ability to stand over a stove or open ovens.
Mm-hmm. Somebody asked a question through social media, through Facebook, about sun cream and sunlight. She said that a lot of people don't understand the health, skin health that associated with sun products and sun cream. So how do you educate patients to use more about sunscreen?
Well, there are a couple things, and this is an interesting point, too, because, once again, we just talked about cooking. You want to minimize exposure for heat there.
Yeah.
But also, when you go to different climates, you want to make sure that you're staying, if it's really, really hot, you got to stay in air-conditioned facilities. And And so that's really, really important. I've had patients, and they say they've traveled to different countries where it's really hot, but they say, hey, I use my sunscreen all the time, and my skin still got darker. And I say, well, what was the temperature? Oh, it's hot. It's like 105.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize it's not just blocking the sun. It's avoiding being outside in heat or hot saunas or steam showers. But as far as sunscreens, there are two things to look for. The SPF number, which stands for sun protection factor, mm-hmm. that is to protect against burns. And so, but that does not protect against things like wrinkles and dark spots and suntans and skin cancer. So when you're looking for a sunscreen, you want to have one that has an SPF of 30 or higher, but more importantly, it has to have helioplex or broad spectrum on it. Most do nowadays, but you still have to look for it to make sure it does. Some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the other key with sunscreens and sun protection is sunscreens take about 15 to 20 minutes to set up in your skin. So you want to put it on in your house before you leave. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the beach and mm-hmm. somebody will put out their blanket and then they'll get the cooler and then they'll get their drink ready, then they'll get their book ready, and after they've done that for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, then they get their sunscreen and then they put it on. Well, it took 5 minutes to put the sunscreen on. It's going to take another 20 minutes to set up. So they've got 20 minutes, 25 minutes worth of sun exposure that they didn't need to do.
Yeah.
You definitely want to put sunscreens on before you go out in the sun. Before you leave the house, and then you want to reapply it frequently, probably
mm-hmm.
every couple hours to maintain its activity, and even more frequently if you're either actively swimming or perspiring, if you're playing athletics.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as a waterproof sunscreen, but some are better than others at being more water-resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Bullfrog and Coppertone Sport are two that are really good at water resistance. And I should say I have no financial interest in either one of the companies. It's just
mm-hmm.
something that I recommend to my patients.
Yeah, and that was my other question, two follow-up questions on sunscreen. One is, like, is there a particular time of the day that they should avoid going outside or put in more sunscreen?
You know, the thing is, it's a credibility issue with me, because when I was in medical school and residency, they say,
mm-hmm.
and don't go out in the midday sun from 10 until 3. Well, if somebody's going on vacation to Hawaii or Mexico or anywhere else, they're not going to stay in their hotel room from 10 to 3. They'll think you're crazy if you tell them. I mean, who's going to go on vacation and just lay in the room during the middle of the day?
Yeah.
So I tell patients, what you want to do is be sun smart and sun protect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of using sunscreen, as we described, use it liberally, reapply it frequently, and also sun protective clothing. And there's a great company based out of the Twin Cities called Coolibar, Coolibar.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I've got no financial interest
Coolibar,
in the company. It's
okay.
Something that I recommend. They make clothing that blocks the sun. And once you put that on, it has a tight weave and it won't let the sun in, but the clothing itself is really lightweight and it's vented, so it's nice and cool. In fact, I wore it on the beach in Hawaii several years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was 95 degrees out, but it felt like I didn't have anything on at all. It was great.
Yeah.
And also sun protective hats. You want something with a nice broad brim that blocks the sun. So you want a combination both of sunscreen and sun protective clothing. So I tell my patients,
mm-hmm.
go out in the sun. We don't get that much of it in Minnesota anyway. Have fun in the sun, but be sun smart and sun protect with combination effective broad spectrum sunscreen and sun protective clothing and hats.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And the other question that I want to ask you, when people come to you about people who are using skin lighting and
yes.
products that come to you and that their skin is damaged already, what do you do to address?
It's very, very, very difficult to treat once you start damaging skin and causing permanent darkening. Sometimes there's certain lasers that are helpful. Sometimes using decreasing the amount of lightening agent or stopping it immediately can be helpful. And sometimes, in a small percentage of cases, the damage has been done and there's not much we can do except recommend a cover-up makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is, instead of trying to correct it when the damage is done, is to educate people not to do it so they don't get damaged.
Mm-hmm. True, yeah. And I think that's the part that people are missing. The other thing, Dr. Crutchfield, that people ask, they always ask alternative. And there is no alternative. Alternative to, because when I talk to them about how these skin lightening products are so toxic, they always ask for non-toxic skin lighting, and that's not what I recommend. So do you hear questions like that often?
Yes, I do all the time.
Okay.
So what I do is I say there are certain times when it is appropriate to lighten the skin. It's like I said, if you get a condition called melasma, which is very,
mm-hmm.
very common, you get the dark patches on your cheeks and upper lip and forehead, and you just want your skin to look the way it did before It got darker before pregnancy or before the hormones kicked in. That's appropriate, but we're talking about people that want to actually change their skin color, their natural skin color. And so on that one, instead of saying, let's see if we can find something that's non-toxic, the thing is saying, no, let's not use it all because they're all toxic and it's inappropriate.
Exactly.
I've had patients, too, and they'll say, well, listen, I'm going to travel, and I just want to get a little color, a little suntan before I travel on vacation, so I have a good base so I don't get burned on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay, right? And I say, no. It's like me telling somebody, hey, if you're nervous, just smoke a few cigarettes. That'll calm you down. Absolutely not. As a physician, I can't recommend smoking cigarettes, even though it has a calming effect.
Yes.
And so, no, I can't recommend anything that's non-toxic because it's inappropriate. So I try to educate and say, hey, let's not do this to begin with, and let's talk about sun protection.
Mm-hmm. People that I interviewed for the research, many of them talked about using skin lining products before they get married. And so do they come to you asking you for prescriptions sometimes?
Yes,
okay.
They do. And once again, I try to educate the patient saying, number one, skin lightening products are very, very dangerous. Number two, it can make things much worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to educate them, say they look great the way they are. Go with your natural skin color.
Mm-hmm.
Because even trying to change it sometimes can be dangerous and not that effective. And it can be extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm. Very expensive.
So there are health risks, there's financial costs. It's a bad deal all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, more and more people, although there's certain groups that resist, certain pockets of people that just believe in it, the families and friends, but more and more people are really coming to appreciate and respect their natural skin color.
Yes, and that's actually what we want, and that's part of why I started doing this radio every Saturday and also doing community outreach and education, mainly to change the cultural practices that really embrace a light skin instead of dark skin or whatever skin the person has. And so I think the more we do that, the more we do outreach, you know, through social media,
yes,
through your clinic. I mean, you're doing really amazing work by treating these patients, but not only treating them, but also educating them.
Thank you. And, you know, and I tell the listeners and I tell my patients,
mm-hmm,
if somebody's told you that changing your natural skin color will make you more attractive, they are lying and they are wrong. Do not buy the lie.
Yeah.
They don't believe it. Run from somebody who says something like that.
Exactly, yeah. Is there a resources that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, the American Academy of Dermatology has good resources. It's, and
mm-hmm,
their website is aad.org. We also have lots of information on my website,
mm-hmm,
and that's Crutchfield Dermatology, like a crutch in a field with a C, crutchfielddermatology.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the listeners are welcome to take a look at that, too.
And
those are really good resources.
Yeah, and I will post that on the website and and the Facebook page. And also, can you talk about your clinic and what you do, what services you have at your clinic? So because I want people who are listening to you right now come to you for advice if they want,
sure,
individual basis.
We take all insurances except preferred one, but aside from that, we take every insurance. And I treat all ages. So I treat pediatric patients. I treat senior citizens. We treat all ages. We treat men and women. Anything that has to do with skin, and dermatology is a specialty of skin, hair, and nails. So any problems with your skin, hair, or nails, that's what we treat. So we do medical dermatology. We also do aesthetic treatments. So we do a lot of fillers and Botox and things like that. So we have kind of,
mm-hmm,
two groups of practice. About three quarters are medical concerns. About a quarter are cosmetic and aesthetic concerns. But the main thing is medical dermatology, and we treat all patients.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the last word, what would you like to share with the listeners in terms of skin lightening practices and really ending these whole chemical exposures?
Yeah, so what I would say is come to understand and respect that your natural skin color is made just for you. It looks beautiful, and if people are telling you it's not, they're lying, and stay away from the liars.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Crutchfield. Thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. Take care. Bye. دقيستي الآن أيضا مهزنتين برنامج قد ما أنتن دقيستين And maanta waxa martin noo ahaa sida hadda uu sheegay Dr. Crutchfield, oo dermatologist, award-winning dermatologist ah, that's based in Minnesota, oo ka hadlayay qibradiisa waxa uu ka yaqaano caafimaadka xagga maqaarka iyo dhibaatooyinka uu arkayo dadka ma aragtay markasta iscadeeya chemicalska ma aragtay iscadeynta isku cadeynaya ee marsanayaan oo jirkooda dhaawacayo, oo siduu hadda ka hadlayay wad maqlaysaan qof kasta uu maqlay in uma aragto qofka ay lasting effect caafimaadkiisa u leedahay oo jirka iyo maqaarka caafimaadka qofka marka waa in ku soo noqonaya barnaamijka qaybteena kale. Hadii aad su'aalo qabtaan telefoonka waxa waa 612-353-5596, again waxa waa 612-353-5596. Hadii aad su'aalo qabtaan waad nasoobici kartaan barnaamijka maanta, ama aad ma aragtay fikradiina ka dhiibanaysaan, waa idinku soo noqonayaa. And then Dr. Crutchfield wuxuu ka hadlayay ayaan idin summarize gareynayaa, aan idin sharxayaa su'aalaha, hadaa qabtaanna markas ayaan idinka jawaabayaa. Wa mahadsantiin.